This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello and welcome to Checkpoint Intimates, your favourite video game podcast based entirely around sexual innuendo. My name is Elliot and I am joined by Cameron.
You had to go for a sexually innuendo joke, didn't you?
I mean, it's kind of my whole shtick.
Your shtick.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel as intimate. I feel further away from you
than
normal.
We are further away than normal, but we are still going to get intimate on our topic because we are talking about cosmetic items in video games and like their role within video games and what they are and
how we interact
with them.
Where did they come from to where we are now? Do we use them?
Where did they come from? Where did they go?
I am not joining
where
in.
Where did they come from? Najo.
Oh, yeah. I am regretting this intimate role already.
So, what is a cosmetic item, Cameron?
So, a cosmetic item is something that you would adhere to, usually your character that you're playing as, that has no effect on gameplay. It is purely a visual spectacle.
Yes.
It's there only to make you beautiful.
And I feel like we're talking...
Not that you need that help.
Oh, thank you. You either.
Oh, duh.
So, I feel like the word cosmetic is thrown around more and more. Because we're seeing the opposite spectrum, where there are things that do affect gameplay coming up, and so we need this kind of bridge, this gap between this is cosmetic purely and this isn't.
Yeah, we're having to really differentiate the two from each other because there's so much of this new version where it's giving you, you're purchasing something that gives you an advantage in the game, usually in a multiplayer game. There have been some in single player now as well, which kind of give you an advantage of kind of beating it faster.
Which is ridiculous.
It's in bizarre.
But that's not what we're talking
about. That's not what this is. But usually cosmetic, I find, you find them much more in multiplayer games. Because it's about showing off your pretty character to all the other people so they feel bad and then they try and get the cosmetic.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's like it's digital showing off, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally ego.
It's like, I have this thing and you don't have it.
Yeah, like, I still get angry when I see people with that one Widowmaker skin that you cannot unlock unless you pre-ordered back, like, a year and a half ago.
So does this mean you do engage in cosmetic items then? Are you one of those people who want to show off the latest and greatest skin or this rare item you have?
I like to pick skins that make... like, bring me joy. I'm not doing it for anyone else.
And for those unaware, a skin would be like a costume.
Yeah, a costume, a change of the face or hair, that kind of thing. A makeover. It's a pretty digital makeover. Yeah, I take them down and we do a montage through the local mall and they come out looking better on the other end. Usually with a much spikier hammer. The big thing for me with cosmetics is when I play the game, I'm playing it for me. I'm not playing it for other people. So I want to be looking at that character and be visually pleased by that character.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can include Zenyatta in Overwatch. I went hard to get the most recent skin for him, which was a kind of Cthulhu-themed cultist skin. And it's because I just loved the look of it, and I was just so excited. And I love that when the game opens up, it'll sometimes present one of your characters in the skin that they have equipped. And so sometimes he'll pop up in his new cultist Cthulhu skin. I'm like, I'm so excited by that.
Just makes you happy.
Yeah, it makes me happy. And I think that's why I will also partake in them in single player sometimes as well. But it comes from a place where when I was a kid, and I'm sure it would have been the same when you're a kid, our age gap is not that huge, but your customizable outfits and skins and everything were unlocked by playing the game.
Right, yeah, it was a progression system. Yeah. It was like a reward for playing.
Yeah, or it would be like a special challenge, like, oh, do this and you'll unlock this skin. And I used to love it. I loved those. I always played in these cool skins. Quite often there were ones that would change you into one... it would change your model into another character model from the game. So you could suddenly play as that awesome female villain that you've been fighting for the whole game. Now she's you. I used to love those kind of things. And then around the PlayStation 3, around that era, we really started to see all those things get locked behind DLC.
Yeah.
And that really sucked. There's still some games that do it right. There's still some games that have it as things like unlockable. The Surprisingly, which I would have thought this is something they would have made us pay for, but Shadow of Mordor, the first one,
yeah,
it had some skins that you unlocked just by playing.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the female love interest companion with the braids. I remember unlocking her, and then I played the whole game as her, but she still had all of Talion's voice lines.
Oh, no.
So it was her, but then she spoke with a man's voice, and it was very distracting.
Maybe they just thought they couldn't charge for that, because they did it so half-assed that it's not even this full product.
I was sitting there going, they must have thought, oh, no one's going to play as that. We won't worry about changing the voice. But then it would, like, go to a cutscene, and it's this weird, disjointed thing.
Yeah. Well, that exact same thing happened with Bulletstorm, didn't it? When they made the remastered edition, they had an unlockable player. You could play as Duke Nukem instead of the main character, but all the voice lines and everything was the same. People still referred to you as the main character's name rather than Duke Nukem. So they really didn't... Like, they put a skin into the game, but then they didn't bother to actually change anything.
And I think that's something that happens a lot in single-player games and drives me insane. One of the big things is when you put a character in this unlockable skin and then it goes to a cutscene and, oh, I'm back in the regular skin. What was the point?
I feel I'm almost like the opposite. When I see, when I go into a cutscene and they have changed your outfit to what you're wearing, I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah, no,
I don't expect it from games to, like, go to that effort.
Oh, I'm blown away, but when that happens, it's when it's, like, suddenly, like, I wasn't wearing that. I didn't pick that outfit. You picked that for me. That's not fair.
That's not me.
That's not... I don't wear white. I wear black.
So we are really seeing this evolution of cosmetics where they are. It is becoming a thing locked behind loot crates or just locked behind microtransactions.
Well, it's a big thing in MMOs as well, where there's... One of the big thing of MMOs is the collection of loot. And a lot of MMOs get their currency, if they're a free-to-play model, through cosmetic items.
Mm.
Guild Wars 2 is a huge example of that. It has so many things locked behind a special currency that you can only get when you purchase it with real money. And that's where they're making their buck to keep that game going.
And I think a lot of people are fine with that model, right? They're okay with a free-to-play game charging for cosmetic items, because that seems like the kind of win-win where the developer gets their money, but also, as a player, you can put as much of your own money into the game as you want.
Yeah, and then it's things like Overwatch. I know Overwatch gets a lot of flack for the loot boxes and what it began with those, but it's that thing where the loot boxes, as well as the original sales, that's all where they're getting their money from.
Mm.
The loot crates that we get, you can unlock them in-game. So you can unlock all of these customizable appearances in-game. And then every actual gameplay content is made free to us.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like in things like Overwatch, I'm less concerned. But there are some where I'm paying for cosmetic that I'm also paying for any new maps or any of that kind of thing. And that is where it starts.
It's interesting, right? Because it's like, where do you cross the line? Like, and every player is different, because I hear this a lot. Overwatch releases all of their, like, expansions and whatever, all game changing things completely for free.
Yes.
And so they update or they're funded through skins, right? Mm. Basically, or loot boxes which contain skins.
And it's not like one-off updates here and there. Usually, we're getting updates every month. But sometimes every two.
But at the same time, it's also like, you can't look at Overwatch as the perfect example, because there are games who are completely free and they fund themselves through skins and still have all updates for free. Stuff like Dota 2, for instance, is doing it that way. Path of Exile is pretty good at doing it that way as well. But it's this interesting example, because you hear these arguments constantly where somebody will say, well, if it's just cosmetic, it doesn't matter, I don't care. But it's like, gaming is this visual medium, right? It's this all-encompassing thing. You interact with it, it's visual, it's sound, it's everything. Mm. So to say cosmetic items don't matter is almost removing, like, this big point of the game.
It's that matter of... For each person, I feel it's different. For me, if I see someone in armor that I like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I really want that.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it's ruining my experience by not having that. But I do know there are people who will see a skin and they're like, I must have it. Yeah. I must have it under all costs. There's also this thing that I think it's Activision have a patent that's not in action yet, but they've got paint for it, which will essentially put you deliberately into a game with someone with cooler looking gear than you.
Or with somebody who has gear that you don't have, I think.
And so then you'll see it and go, ooh, well, I want that. I'll just buy a loot box. Maybe
and
I'll
get really
it.
And it's really clever, right? But it's also...
It's shady.
Because you're manipulating people to pay money for your game, which is, you know, like, it's part of the business, but at the same time, like, where's your moral compass? Like, where do you draw the line at what's appropriate, what's not appropriate?
Manipulation seems to be coming in a lot more in online gaming recently, and I'd really rather we go back to just make a really good game and let it speak for itself, and we'll spend the money because we want to support a really good game. But then you get people who cry, oh, well, I want everything for free. I'm not going to pay for anything, and it's this weird midpoint, but I don't like the practices that are... I don't want to be put into a game because that person has something I don't have. I want to be put into a game because we have the best connection.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Like, if matchmaking is affected by cosmetics, all of a sudden, cosmetics affect gameplay.
Yeah, and then it's bad.
And all of a sudden, like, you could... you know, argue that by buying cosmetics, you have this tactical advantage because you're going against maybe newer players who haven't unlocked or don't have other cosmetic items.
Yeah.
Potentially. I mean, you know,
I remember, like, there have been times where cosmetic items have affected gameplay. I remember when Hanzo had a certain skin, and for some reason, when he announced his super, he announced it slightly quieter with a different voice line. And so people were caught more unaware by his super than when he was wearing his normal skin.
Yeah.
That's been edited out, obviously.
There are things like that happen a lot in MOBA games as well, because I'm a big MOBA player, but there are skins that affect like your particle effects and your spellcasting effects. And if all of a sudden like your spellcasting effect is a different color and it blends into the environment a bit more, whoa, like that's pay to win. Like this guy, like nobody wants to go against these almost invisible particles that you can't react to.
Yeah.
But often, once again, like it's found by the community and the developers are like, well, obviously we didn't intend that. I'm sorry, guys, we're changing it.
I think at this point in time, for the most part, when it's something cosmetic and it affects gameplay, they suddenly go, oh, we'll remove that.
Yeah.
But like, what about the other problem that you have to toe the line with is when is a cosmetic acceptable and when isn't it acceptable? When does it become maybe a bit taboo? I bring up Overwatch a lot, but it's because I know the cosmetics in Overwatch quite well. But there was a lot of talk about one of Symmetra's skins. It's one of her legendary skins. It's called Shiva, and there's a variant called Goddess. And a lot of people of the Hindu belief were quite upset because it depicted Symmetra, who is Hindu, in regalia of one of their deities, Shiva. And it kind of felt like monetizing their religious belief.
Right.
It hasn't been removed. There has been a little bit of a... there was arc up and concern, but never enough that it, like, they pushed hard. No one ever went after Blizzard and said, that's not acceptable. But people said, we're not super comfortable with that. Because I'd love to see how people of a Christian belief would feel if one of the characters was suddenly Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that kind of brings it home, right? Because sometimes it is like, you can... I would, like, if somebody was to say, well, why can't we just have fun and... you know, just play as Shiva. Yeah. But at the opposite end, it's like, well, you don't know how this affects, like, people who follow this belief.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a game of violence, so you then have people behaving in a violent way towards an entity of belief.
Mm.
And it's this bizarre thing. But it also then also comes into over-sexualizing of characters.
Yeah, I think that's like, when you talk about inappropriate cosmetics, I feel like that's the biggest example, right? Mm. That's what you see that is so widespread, is when they'll bring in a skin for a character and it'll be this like super skimpy, inappropriate thing that they're just clearly trying to get money off horny players. Is dead that okay?
Dead or alive, and the millions of swimsuit edition skins that they put on all their female characters. That is a prime example of that. And it's this kind of gray area where it's like, well, it's our property to do what we want with. And it's like, yeah, but could you not maybe do that?
Yeah, it is that kind of murky, like, yeah, sure, adults, we can do what we want. But also, like, what kind of representation are you setting here? Like, why are we pandering to, you know, a horny audience that just wants to see women sexualized?
Because I'm sure, I feel like MOBAs would get a lot of these kind of skins coming through, do they?
Yeah, I actually remember a specific example. There was a character Sejuani, who is like this female beast rider, and she comes from the Freljord, which is this frozen tundra area, and they released her character and she was wearing a bikini, and everyone was like, guys, I know sometimes you can sexualize a character, but this is just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, can you justify it in any way? And they had to respond, right? Responded and said, you know what? This is inappropriate. I don't know how this got through. Let's change her and make her, like, actually lore appropriate.
Yeah. And then it also comes down to, and so it's not just female characters. I know that there was a big kind of arc up around the Summer Games that came out that put McCree.
Was there topless? An arc up though? Because I feel like it's almost
the problem a win. The problem was the positive. Well, like they outcried the people who were like, why are we not okay with, you know, widows, but we're okay with McCrees?
Well, I think the idea is that sexualization isn't always bad, but when it's constant and only for one gender, it's like it's all of a sudden it becomes an issue.
Oh yeah, it's not that. Personally, I had no problem with McCree's. I found it quite interesting that they very deliberately gave him a towel across his shoulders that covers his nipples.
Did they?
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that, but he has it. So he doesn't feel completely topless.
Yeah.
I know. That's the thing that I notice when I look at character design. And I definitely, there's a very big difference in how women are quite often depicted with their downloadable skins versus how men are depicted with theirs.
I almost feel like we are seeing argument. I almost feel like we are seeing men sexualized more often, and we used to not.
There's definitely a big push lately to really let. But it's that, okay. So it's that problem though that quite often female sexualization is not empowering towards them, but the male ones are usually quite muscular and strong, and it's still, they have the power.
It's that power fantasy versus sexual fantasy.
Exactly. So it's not right to really over sexualize either side, I feel, but it's very, you can't, it's not the same drink.
Yeah.
We're not drinking milk and milk, we're drinking milk and Fanta. That sounds disgusting. That's a terrible analogy.
Look, milk and anything is disgusting.
Who drinks milk and Fanta? But yeah, like I know that there was a whole bunch of MOBA characters that they got quite sexy male.
Oh yeah.
The one with the shield. I don't know his name.
Tarek.
Yeah, he got some sexy skins, I believe.
He did. He became a very sexy man. And I'm okay with it.
Do you use skins?
I'm not a huge skin purchaser because I don't know.
You prefer the organic character as they were designed for you by the creator?
No, I'm just cheap.
See that.
Nah, I have purchased skins before and put money into those kind of free games, but it's not a big selling point for me. I much prefer to spend my time, you know, becoming competitive and playing to my best abilities. And honestly, a lot of that cosmetic stuff just falls to the wayside for me. I don't care that much.
I think Overwatch is the only one where I've gotten into real cosmetic that isn't unlockable through the game. But even that is unlockable through the game. Yeah. But it's the only one that I've spent money to get things that are cosmetic.
Anyway, that's all the time we have. This has been Checkpoint Intimates. Thank you, Cameron, for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Elliot.
And we will see you guys next week.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.